Welcome to Wellness Spring. In this powerful episode, I'm joined by an amazing friend, Katarina Mannheimer-Ahlström, a Swedish hypnotherapist, author, and speaker who shrank her malignant breast tumor by 90% in just 12 days before surgery, mirroring my own healing from my thyroid and ovarian cancer in 2 weeks. We dive into the mind-body connection, holistic healing, and powerful health hacks that you can use right away. You will learn how to overcome fear, boost your body's natural defenses, and take charge of your own health. If you would like to prevent illness or simply feel your best, this episode is for you. Welcome, Katarina, to Wellness Spring Show. It's so lovely to reconnect with you.
So lovely to be here, Beverly. Thank you so much. I'm so honored that you have me here on your show. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. And for the listeners, Katarina and I last seen each other 5 years ago in the end of 2019. And I was promoting Nassim Haramein in Monaco. And the lovely Katarina was one of the speakers who was blessed to speak on stage and warm up the audience. And she absolutely wooed them. I can say that from the bottom of my heart. She's an incredible soul, and I feel so blessed to have you on the show today. And she's actually here right now in Australia, where I am. Just arrived in Sydney. She's in Melbourne, and she's been here for nearly 6 weeks, staying with her son who recently got married. So would you like to tell us your experience of Australia before we get stuck in?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I had never been to Australia before. I first came here in 2019, right before COVID struck, and my son had gone here for studies. He was going to Swinburne University in Melbourne. And the thought was that he would return back to Sweden, where I live and where he's from. But COVID struck, and during that time, he met a lovely Australian girl. And when I met her the first time, I understood that my son would move to Australia. And he's been here ever since, and they got married on the 1st of March. And I just added a new home country to my countries. So I will spend quite a bit of time here, I think, from now on. At least once a year, I'll come and stay for a month or so.
That's wonderful news. And we both share a deep belief in the body's innate ability to heal itself. As you know, I healed myself of my thyroid and ovarian cancer in 2005 in just a couple of weeks, and using only holistic methods. And you did something remarkable with your breast cancer journey. So would you like to share how you healed yourself?
Well, if I back up a little bit, I can say that at the time when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I was working full-time as a hypnotherapist in Stockholm. I had my own clinic. And I got sick in the beginning of COVID in April 2020. And 2020. And because of COVID, very few people went for mammographies and other checkups. So I got an operation scheduled only 2 weeks after my diagnosis. And because of COVID, I was so afraid of getting a cold or of getting COVID, because I didn't know, you know, had I missed that slot of time for surgery, who knows what was going to happen with the health with the hospitals and the healthcare system. So I was very, very adamant not to get a cold. So I moved into my psychotherapy office and waiting for my surgery, basically. And during that time, I really decided to use this as a retreat. I thought of all the techniques that I already know, the meditations, the hypnotic techniques I know. I worked with really looking at myself from a compassionate point of view. I wasn't angry at my disease. I decided to work with it and to really work with strengthening my immune system, because I felt that was, if I was going to war with anything, it would be to strengthen my immune system. And that means that I needed to be as calm as possible. I needed to sleep as much as possible. I needed to raise my frequency and be as positive as possible. So I decided to make it into a joyous, mostly silent retreat, where I started every day with a visualization where I saw my tumor shrink. I could see it very vividly. I also did yoga every morning. I went out in nature. I hugged trees. I was laying on the ground. I was doing everything to ground myself. I decorated the clinic where I stayed. I decorated it with flowers and had p beautiful pillows on the sofa and blankets. I took warm baths. I really pampered myself in every way I could. And I read up on what types of foods that actually fight cancer. And those are what I learned was that the anti-inflammatory foods is what works best. So I cut anything that could add sugar or poisons or chemicals, or and also because my breast cancer was hormonal, I had an excess of estrogen in my body. So I decided to go vegan for 2 weeks, and I stayed vegan for 2 years. Now I eat eggs, but I'm still vegan besides that, and I still eat this rainbow food that is just eating as many colors as possible. So I learned how to cook very differently, and I made that into kind of a therapy as well during these 2 weeks. And I knew before, I did hypnotherapy sessions with myself too, because I know how to do that. So I did that almost on a daily basis. And maybe most importantly, I asked my body for forgiveness that I had been so harsh towards it, that I had been so critical, so taking it so much for granted and pressuring it to do things. You know, I worked really hard. I didn't stop when I was tired. I had stressed a lot in my youth. I had bulimia. I had an eating disorder. I had to ask my body to forgive me for all that I had done to it, basically. And, you know, my body answered me. It was as if I was having this prayer to my body that if you give me this chance, I will treat you in the best possible way that I can ever treat you. I'll give you the best food. I'll give you all the rest you need. I'll give you the exercise that is the best one for you. I was really talking to my body almost as a little child, and my body answered up. I could really feel that we had a connection. And during one of my hypnotherapy sessions, I journeyed into my tumor, asking it if it had a message for me. And all of a sudden, I saw a picture of the left side of my body, which in the yogic tradition represents the feminine side of the body. It was completely dead and lifeless. That's also where the tumor was on the left, in my left breast. The right side of my body was really vibrant and strong. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've been working with psychology and with hypnotherapy. I've been spiritual during all of my life. But at the core, I have let my masculine side rule my life. That's the part of me that has been the most active. I've been giving more, I've been trusting research and facts so much more than my own intuition. And when I understood that I had really myself behaved patriarchal towards the feminine side of me, something really melted away. And when I understood this, I forgave myself for having been so harsh and for actually not allowing my feminine side to bloom, my feminine power to be in balance. I saw how for my inner eye, I could see how the left side of my body lit up again. And the tumor started to itch. So I knew that something had happened. I had had the biopsy measured that I had a tumor that had a growth rate of 8%. So I knew what kind of tumor I had, and I knew that it probably hadn't spread. After 2 weeks in this private retreat with all these wonderful foods, trying to laugh as much as possible by watching comedies, raising my frequency as much as I could, talking to my closest community, my closest people, my closest friends and family, going out for walks and yoga and eating this anti-inflammatory food and sleeping well and loving myself in every day, every way I could think of, I went to have my surgery. They took out my tumor and it went really well. A week after I came back to the doctor who had done the surgery, and the doctor said that the good news was that it hadn't spread. Then she looked down into her papers and she said, "You know, I don't know what has happened, but we did a biopsy of your tumor after the operation, of course, and that analysis shows that it shrunk 90% while you were waiting for your surgery." And she said, "I can't really explain it, but these things happen sometimes." And being a hypnotherapist, I looked at her and said, "I know what happened. I'm a hypnotherapist. I've been working on this tumor. I've been working on it with food, with hypnotherapy, with visualizations, and with all sorts of things." And she basically said, "Well, it probably didn't do any harm." But she didn't really believe that that had anything to do with it. So I knew that it was not a good time to have a discussion. I just needed to let that go. But I know in my heart that I healed the tumor. And there was another thing that I was doing that I want to share. It is that I found on YouTube a sound frequency that is called 444 hertz. It is just a very strong tone. And it is said to kill cancer cells. So I took a small loudspeaker, like one of these headphones kind of loudspeakers, put it on the tumor directly because I knew where it was. And I played that frequency, 444 hertz, right into the tumor every morning and every night. And every time I did that, the tumor itched again. And I think that the things I did that made the tumor itch definitely helped shrink it.
Wow, that's wonderful. And you uncovered a lot there. And I know, like, initially, How did they discover that you had the tumor? Were you going for a regular mammogram check because it was during COVID? How did they get the diagnosis?
Well, what happened was that I had been to a mammogram in Sweden. You go for mammograms, you're called to go for free mammograms once a year. I had been to mammogram 9 months earlier. I actually saw the tumor in the mirror myself. I saw a lump on my left breast and felt that I was actually thinking that this was a benign thing. Maybe even I had been outside sitting in a pool for a long time, like in a hot tub, and I thought it was actually after sitting in the hot tub, maybe I had an insect bite or something. I couldn't explain it. It came from one day to another. But I went for a biopsy the day after I discovered it. So, yeah.
When I had mine, my cancer, I was just started my clinic, so I was renovating it and working in it, and I was really stressed and had extended myself financially, emotionally, physically. I was hardly sleeping because I bought an old house which needed renovating, and the garden was a shambles, everything about it. But my clients were so loving and supportive, and they were happy to see the journey. But a friend let me down. He offered to build a wall so I could have separation from the kitchen to the dining room. So it would be one big yoga meditation studio. And he said he'd do an exchange. And in the end, he charged me double the highest quote, and I found out later he was desperate for money and didn't let me know. But then he was having hassle. But I just felt so betrayed, and I realized that was it. But I was manic, and I lost 11 kilos, for a small person in a matter of about a week. It was mental, and I kept losing it. And then 2 weeks later, a friend came to visit whose husband happened to be one of the top oncologists in Australia, and she was a nurse and used to work sometimes at his clinic. And I said, "Oh yeah, I've been to see, a friend of Brian's. He gave me all these scans because he's got a new clinic and blah blah blah." And he said, "I've got a big tumor here, the size of an egg, and one each on my ovaries, and I need to see the doctor." So she was furious that I hadn't gone because I was so manic and busy with the clients, I didn't think about it. But everything happened really quickly, all my tests and diagnosis, having seen an endocrinologist, a gynecologist, and so forth, and the oncologist, and they wanted to rush me in straight away and have surgery because my markers were, through the roof, and everything was through the roof. But something inside me said, "No, next week we're going to the British Lions tour in New Zealand, and I need a holiday." And what I did, I decided to compartmentalize it, like they were begging Brian, "Don't go, don't go. She might collapse on the plane. She might not make it there." And they all gave him their mobile number, so we called. They said they could fax all our tests and results to New Zealand if I ended up in hospital there. And the fear, I started to doubt myself. I thought, "Oh, I can do it. I'll heal myself with Reiki and blah, blah, blah." Now I know, because for about a few weeks, I'd seen homeopaths, naturopaths, life systems. I try to do it. So the life system is like a bioenergy feedback machine, and it reads everything in your body. And everybody was like, "How's your relationship? How's work? What's stressing you?" And it was like nobody was giving me answers. And I just felt happy that I had the diagnosis. And I decided then I'm going to compartmentalize it and going on holiday. And when I come back, I'll deal with it. I said, I need this time to, deal with it and accept what you're telling me. And I had so much fun, like meeting up with lots of friends, lots of singing. There was over 30,000 British people. The majority were Welsh at the time. There was lots of singing and laughing. And my cousin had set, was a Reiki master also. She gave me healings. Her friends would give me all types of healings, doing meditations. So similar to your journey. And I wore a lapis lazuli crystal. And I had, because I knew I'd be wearing jeans, I put tiger's eye crystals in my pocket and just doing affirmations. But I went within in the nights when I was on my own, I'd go inside and I'd talk to the tumors and, oh, beautiful tumors, I love you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to slow down and so forth. And like you, I visualize them shrinking. But, tell us, did any fears come up? Because when I was going for my 3 monthly checkup, I wasn't aware of it. When I went to see the doctor, when I came back, they were like, something's wrong. Everything's disappeared completely. What has happened? They called it a spontaneous remission. And then they were saying, could you have been pregnant? Could you have had a miscarriage? I was like, no. And like your response, they didn't want to know when I said what I'd been doing. It was just not, fathomable for them. They couldn't understand it. So did you go, obviously, I'm sure you went for 3 monthly checkups, and did fear put in his ugly head because you think, oh my God, I hope he's not coming back?
Yes, of course. I had fear, but as a hypnotherapist, I've been working with a method for a long time where that is called you boil in your emotions. And I knew that fear was gonna come and that it was predictable. And every time I felt fearful, I just sat down with it and I invited the fear to just come and have me. And what I have learned is that if you allow a feeling completely, 100%, it will usually leave your system within 90 seconds. So the times when I felt fearful, I really welcomed it and I sat with it. And it took a few minutes and then I let it go. It's sort of what you do is you close your eyes, you just invite the feeling and you let it have its way with you. You let it implode in your body. And after a few minutes, it will dissipate because fear works the same way as laughter, for example. When we hear a joke, we will laugh and be really giggly for a few minutes, but then it throttles off. And that's the same with every feeling. So anytime I felt fear, and I did, but I tried to, just like you, compartmentalize a bit. I compartmentalized my fear so that when it came, I dealt with it. And when it wasn't there, I absolutely didn't go look for it. And because it was COVID at the time, I also decided not to watch any news. Not to fill myself with anything negative, because my goal was to raise my vibration, to strengthen my immune system, to lower my stress. So yeah, I was fearful when fear came organically, but I definitely didn't go look for it, and I didn't extend it.
Yeah, I resonate with everything you say. Like, I was blessed to go away and be with friends and laugh and do fun things, be pampered, get loved, get nurtured, be in sacred circles with my cousin and doing meditations and so forth. But the third time I went, I hadn't realized I was getting stressed, but I came back after my third 3 monthly visit and my Reiki master who was working at the center said, what's wrong? I said, oh, nothing. I've just had the all clear again. There's no more cancer. And she said, where are you going? You are whole. You are complete. There's nothing wrong for you. If you go searching, If you go to see the doctors, you're looking for something. You're expecting something to happen. So she told me to bury the story, don't tell anyone, and keep raising my vibration and act as if nothing happened. And this is exactly what you're doing because you said you didn't search for the fear, but sometimes it comes organically. And I've been embracing it. If it comes up, it's like, okay, bring it on. Let's sit down, let's see. And I just see what comes up and just really feel into it. And also, what else? Forgotten what I was going to say now, but feel a fear and do it anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think my tumor was actually what I had done. Was that for 5 years I had been eating hormones because I was approaching menopause and I ate hormones for 5 years, and I know that very seldom do they give this effect, but I think that my breast cancer on one level had to do with that. On another level, it had to do with not having honored my femininity, stressing too hard, always working too much.
Yeah, because work represents the male aspect. And obviously, as workaholics, which most self-employed people are, and healers, because we're always rescuing, we neglect ourselves. It's like the chef hasn't got food in the fridge, the builder's home is in disarray. We're not taking time out for me. You know, we might do the odd meditation or think because we're guiding meditations for others, you know, that's part of our journey, but we don't take the time out. But so you mentioned you are vegan because I'm plant-based as well. So I really believe we are what you eat, you know, and you mentioned chemicals, and it's a common fact that you know, the corporate farmers are spraying chemicals, and this is causing dis-ease because now I believe we never have illness. We are whole and complete at our very core. We are divine beings, we're sovereign. It's just when we're out of alignment, and it's usually from our thoughts that bring on the dis-ease, you know, but it doesn't help to eat food that is known to make us sick. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Definitely, we are not meant to eat poisons, and there's so much toxicity in the air we breathe and in our environment, even in the clothes we wear. I absolutely believe that anything that taxes our system is creating some sort of disease in us. So trying to live as purely as possible will raise our frequency and will keep us healthier. It will help our immune system to get stronger, and in the end, it is the immune system that keeps us healthy. So, being in alignment, just as you say, is so important. And also, I'm sure that we are of the same opinion. We create our own reality to a very large extent. Our vibration aligns with a reality, a timeline that looks a certain way. And to always go for the highest possible timeline in terms of what you align with is in my opinion, a key. A key. It's a key to living our best life and to
Absolutely. And what, because I believe that food that is grown organically is vibrant and it's a way of lifting our vibration. So, What foods in particular would you recommend to the listeners to raise their vibration? Because you mentioned a rainbow.
Yes, I mentioned a rainbow. I learned, I think it's more than 20 years ago, someone said that it is a good idea to eat at least five colors a meal. Eat five colors a meal at best, and at least three. So I sort of took that into consideration, and when I had my diagnosis, I learned that there are foods that are really like medicine, that really fights cancer, and there are foods that are like poisons and that can cause cancer. So eating dark greens, broccoli, spinach, all dark greens, really good pak choi, paprika, peppers, red and green peppers, wonderful. Carrots, really good. And all avocados, really good. Nuts and seeds, really good too. And beans of all kinds, chickpeas, for example, also really good. Tomatoes, yes, that's fine too. So just think, sweet potato is also something that is really healthy. Potato is fine, but the best thing is actually to cook it and let it cool down so that the carbohydrates get slower. It is not as sugary if it has cooled down. So you can have potatoes in a salad, for example. And then I learned that strawberries are like anti-cancer medicine, and so is mango. Fruits have quite a bit of sugar, so just don't eat more than one banana a day, I learned, and maybe not more than one apple a day. But berries are just fine. Blueberries are extremely antioxidant, and I also learned that 3 cups of green tea a day lowers, a study in Japan showed that that lowers the risk of getting cancer by almost 50%. Only 3 cups of green tea a day. So I started to drink these matcha teas, and cocoa, raw cocoa is anti-cancer as well. Just to mention a few things.
Yeah, that's great to hear that potatoes that you need to cool them down and it saves the carbohydrate effect. And I'm sure the listeners would benefit from all those tips, especially about eating strawberries and mangoes and blueberries as anti-cancer and the green tea. Is there anything else that you would recommend that the listeners could do right now for themselves? For preventative medicine.
Stress down. That is basically the best medicine to create harmony in your body and to know that this life is yours and that no one will ever thank you for carrying a lot of guilt or shame or feelings that are really taxing on your system. It is Worry is also something that, the fact that we worry changes absolutely nothing at all. Thinking about it, the fact that you worry, what has that ever changed? It only creates stress. So just having these little tricks for, loving yourself more, being kinder to yourself, forgiving yourself more, relaxing more. This is your life. Make the best of it. Enjoy it as much as possible. That's my best tips. It's if we eat really healthily, but we're miserable all the time, it creates a lot of stress too. So just the whole to really holistically try to live your best possible life and let go of what control.
Yeah, let go of what you can't control.
Yeah. And then there's also another thing that I, being very achievement oriented, I had many years, when I did a PhD and I worked as a university professor at the University of Stockholm in Sweden. And for 10 years, I worked myself to the bone. I was so exhausted. I was never off. And eventually I hit the wall. And I knew that I needed to change my life fundamentally. My children were young at the time, and I felt that they had never really seen me be off. I was always reading something, always preparing something for work. So I felt this quality of life was too low. And so I opened my own psychotherapy practice, and I left a job that was actually both well paying and it was really sought after. So it took a bit of working on my ego to let go of that position, but it was the best thing I did. And the thing that really helped me heal my overachiever personality was hypnosis.
Wow,
I
and obviously you were working for 10 years in academia. During that time, did you study then hypnotherapy? How did this come about, your spiritual training?
Well, I taught psychology at the university, but I had never worked clinically. I had only worked with research and teaching. So I during the time I worked at the university, I also did some training. I felt that I needed to know how to work with a client to be able to teach it at all. And but it was when I hit the wall myself, I was so achievement oriented that I was thinking that what is the most effective method that can get me back at work as soon as possible? And I found in research that hypnosis had the fastest and best effects over time. So I felt, okay, now I have hit the wall. I'll go to a hypnotherapist to get me back in shape. And it really did wonders. I healed childhood traumas. I did so much work on myself. And within a couple of months, I was actually back at the university thinking that if I'm going to do something as a therapist, I need to do this because I really believe in this. So that's how it was self it was self-experienced. Yeah, it
Wow.
was what happened. Yeah.
That's
So
great to hear. And you mentioned you're an overachiever. Many of us are overachievers or perfectionists. All we carry from childhood, all those lies we made about ourselves, the disempowering beliefs that we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we're not visible, not capable, and so forth. So, do you help people to overcome these disempowering beliefs?
yes, I do. I absolutely do. And they come to me for hypnotherapy. I work also with a method that is called the Journey. It was developed by a woman whose name is Brandon Bays, and it's a form of hypnotherapy, but it is a little more spiritual. It works on the level of the soul. It works with forgiveness. It works with things that traditional hypnotherapy doesn't necessarily include. So I do a lot of I've made my own kind of hypnotherapy, but what I do for my clients is that I do tailor-made self-hypnosis tapes. We get together and I ask them to share with me what they really would like, how they really would like to feel in their work, how they really would like to feel in their relationships, how they really would like to feel in their body, and how they want to look at themselves, see themselves, and how they want to think about themselves. And from the answers of those questions, I make a really beautiful hypnosis or a meditation that I write down. And then I teach them how to record this meditation with her own voice, because I learned from the indigenous people in Sweden, I learned that what's most soothing to us human beings is our own voice, because it is the voice we hear in the head when we criticize ourselves. So that voice, if we use that to say something really beautiful to ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to boost ourselves, to make ourselves feel safe and harmonious, that heals a lot. So I'm doing this meditations for my clients that they get to listen to.
That's wonderful. I've never heard that before about doing your own voice. So I'm going to do it. I do make lots of meditations for other people, but I similar to yours, but never done one for myself. So that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you also run wonderful retreats. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yes, I have a concept that is called detox for body and soul. And I do retreats in Mallorca, outside of Barcelona in Spain. I do that every fall, and I rent a beautiful hotel. And during 6 days, we do yoga every morning. I invite a cook to do the recipes that I used when I was in my pre-surgery retreat. So vegan, anti-inflammatory, gorgeous, healthy food. We do hypnosis in group. We do meditations. We go on forest walks. We do this forest bathing. We go to the beach and meditate. We do a lot of ceremony, and all in a beautiful, beautiful setting, in a hotel that has its roots at the 1300th century as the first building in this really spiritually, I would say it's just a high vibrational place. It's a magical place. It's a healing place. So I do that. And also in the fall, I have the same kind of retreat in the Laponia in the north of Sweden. It's also a very powerful, magical place where there are northern lights. And we go into, when it's really dark in November, we go into a beautiful, beautiful setting with a lot of fireplaces and candle lights. And we do the same thing. It's yoga every morning and anti-inflammatory food and hypnotic processes and ceremonies and sharing and for a couple of days. And then I do it in the spring in the south of Sweden too, every year. So I have like six retreats a year.
Wow, I feel healed just listening to all the magic that you're creating. And I'm sure you have wonderful, profound stories of people's healing journeys. Is there one that you'd like to share that stands out? Obviously, without giving their name.
Yes, 2000, was it 2004? Yes, there was a huge tsunami in Thailand that you might remember. And for some reason, a lot of Swedish people go to Thailand for vacation. So we had about like 300, 400 Swedish, no, 300. How many was it that died? I don't remember. I will not do the numbers. But we had a lot of Swedish people that were in Thailand, and many of them died. And then I had a woman who came to me. She had lost her husband, and she had lost her one of her children in the tsunami. And 10 years had passed, and she said, you know, I go with this feeling that I somehow caused his death, because he held my hands and something happened, so I let go, and it feels it was my fault, and I can't allow myself to love again. And we did a hypnotic session where all of a sudden she remembered that there was a branch of a tree that came and wished his hands away. And seeing this, she could also, during the process, invite her husband and in her heart, and ask him if he would be okay with her meeting a new man. And of course, her husband, who came in spirit, said that of course he would be fine with that. So just a few months later, she met a new man and she forgave herself completely. So that is a very beautiful.
Wow, that's wonderful. I got goosebumps as you're saying it. And you're an author as well of two books. Would you like to tell us a bit about those?
Yes, my first book I wrote actually already 2014. It is called Journey of the Heart, and it was written when I was in the process of leaving the university. I had just left the university. It was basically a way of coming out as a spiritual person. So I was building bridges, using myself and as an example, building bridges between the theoretical and the spiritual. Writing a lot about the human ego, where that is, and how we can get to know ourselves, how self-knowledge is basically the key for all kind of personal development. Because if we hide things from ourselves, it is very hard to evolve. We need to be transparent with ourselves, about ourselves, to really get to know ourselves, all parts of us. And how do we embrace the parts we don't really like as much, and how do we learn to love them? So it is a book about personal development, basically how a journey in personal development can be done, and it is available in English as well. So the name is
Wonderful.
Journey. Yeah. So I'm usually doing my retreats. I always bring my books, and I use that as one of the course. I speak about the human ego and how to understand it, and how to understand all the parts of us.
Yeah.
And the second book is called I Will Get Through This. And that is a book that I wrote after my journey with cancer, because I felt it had been quite spectacular and that I had something that I could share. So it's basically the story of those of my 12 days in this retreat, where I waited for my operation. And I also have recipes and some research about what foods that help. But that I have translated the book, but it hasn't been published yet in English. But it is translated, waiting to be published. So it will
Great.
eventually. Yeah.
That's wonderful, the journey of the heart, and I will get there. You know, it's very inspirational for people to look forward to. And where's the best place for people to contact you to follow you and read your next book?
Yes, I have a homepage that is called mannheimeralstrom.com. I'm sure that you, Beverly, can put the links under.
Absolutely.
And my homepage has all my contact information, and you can read more about what I do and how to order my books and things like that. And I have a YouTube channel, but it's actually mostly in Swedish. It is called Academy Compassion. And that is my YouTube channel. And I actually aim to start putting up more English material, because I spend almost half of my time in Mallorca in Spain, where I have a house, and I will be in Australia every year, and I will probably also have retreats here as we go along, maybe with you, Beverly. That would be wonderful if I could come join you sometime.
Oh, that
And
would be brilliant.
I would love that. I will put up more and more material in English, and I will put up some. I have meditations on my YouTube page, but they will be in English as we go along. And I also have an Instagram. It's Katarina Mannheimer, and on Facebook I have a professional page. It's Katarina Mannheimer PhD. And you can also follow me on my regular Facebook. It's Katarina Mannheimer Alström. I will send all those so that you can just put them up.
Wonderful. And I always ask my guests, because it's a wellness podcast and you've probably covered it, what is your wellness go-to?
Meditation. It is
Great.
still on meditation. Anytime I'm overwhelmed, I retreat into stillness to just find my feet again, and I spend a lot of time in meditation.
Fabulous. And if there was one thing that you could do to change the world, what would it be?
Let the women rule.
Yay! Let the women. That's
Women,
brilliant.
yeah. Create balance, I would say. Create balance and allow the feminine energy where it now comes from. If it is from, we all have both feminine and masculine energy, to allow the feminine energy to be part of ruling the world, or actually to rule the world. Because I am convinced that we would have so much less violence in this world, so much less narcissism in this world, if the feminine side was allowed to bloom with its creativity, with its intuition. If we could allow intuition as being like a currency in this world, it would look very different.
Thank you. This has been an absolute amazing conversation, and I'm sure many listeners will benefit from it. So thank you very much for giving up your precious time.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very, very honored. It has been lovely speaking to you. Thank you. And thank you for listening.